I just want us to read this verse. We've been reading it this every week. So here's how it goes. Colossians 2, 6 through 7 says, "Therefore, as you receive from Jesus the Lord, to so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, in overflowing with gratitude." Lord, I just pray for this morning. I pray for every single person. I pray for the hearts. Lord, even on this Fall Fest day, Lord, I pray that you want to do a miracle work within our hearts. And I just pray that not my words, but your words. I pray for your anointing. I pray for the things of you. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And we thank you, Lord, for that you continue to redeem and save all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a seat. Grab it. Here it is. It's interesting because if you look in Scripture over and over and over again, you see a few things that begin to happen. One is, when the disciples went to Jesus, one of the things that they said over and again, they're always saying, "Jesus, teach us how to do something." One of the things they said to Jesus was, "Lord, teach us how to pray." You guys remember that? He says, "Teach us how to pray." And then that's when the Lord's Prayer began to happen. It says, "Do it like this. If this is a great first step, teach us how to pray." And then I love my favorite verse in Scripture. One of my favorite verses of all times is James 5:17. It says, "Elijah was a man just like us." He was just like us. But it says that he prayed earnestly. I want you to catch this because I think what we do is that we listen to people in Scripture. We listen to these like heroes in Scripture and we lift them up and we make them these almost celebrity statuses. Like, I can never do what Elijah does. I can never do what Moses does. I can never lead these people. I can barely lead my family. How would I lead people out? And you're thinking, how would I ever do this? And then you begin to start realizing that it says Elijah was a person just like us, except for he prayed earnestly. It was a person who sought the Lord. And it's pretty interesting to say things happen because he prayed. Matthew 6:6 says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And it says, when you pray. It doesn't say if you pray. It's pretty much assuming when you pray. He says, as a follower of Christ, it's not if you pray, because if is going to happen. He's saying it's part of our spiritual walk. When you pray, this is what it is. Like, we pray, and we seek him. And so God wants to speak to us. I love this. Check this out. Over 300 times in Scripture, this is what's said. The Lord said. Think about that. Over 300 times in Scripture, that phrase, "the Lord said," is in Scripture. So that reveals to me, God wants to speak to us, and he wants us to speak to him. God wants to be revealed. So here's the easy. You want to know what prayer is? Prayer is, as simply put, prayer is conversation with God. Prayer is conversation with God. Some people, I was just on with some friends the other night talking about prayer, and he says, as he was a pastor, he says, somebody came up to him and said, "How do you talk to God?" And this is what his response was: "How do you talk to your friends?" And he goes, "Well, I just have conversations." I said, "Well, there you go." And he goes, "How do you talk to people?" But here's what begins to happen. When our relationship with the Lord, so many times people have real life conversations, but when they go to the Lord, they have King James conversations. And what I mean by that is all of a sudden you're talking to your friends about just life. I'm having a tough day and this is what's going on. And when you get to the Lord, you're like, "Thou Father, I beckon you to show up." And you know what I'm saying? And what he's saying is, says, be real with me. And here's the deal. A conversation defined in a dictionary is listening and talking. Did you hear this? Sometimes people say, "Well, my prayers are kind of boring." Most conversations are boring if it's just one-sided anyway. Because it's when we have conversations. Most of the time, what we do, and I'm not saying this is, I'm not making fun, I'm just saying most of the time what we do is that we petition to the Lord. We go to the Lord and say, "This is what I want, boom, 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 boom. This is what I need, boom, 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 boom. Can you deliver? Boom, 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 boom. Have a good day." And can you imagine having a relationship like this with your wife or your spouse? Or, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it happens. It's not good. It's not healthy. Make sure you get this done today. Boom, boom, boom. Until I get home. Boom, 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 boom. And if it's not a conversation or relationships, it's not going anywhere. And so the question is, are you doing even more listening than talking? There's a reason why God gave us one mouth and two ears. You know what I'm saying? That means we should do twice as much listening as we do talking. We got to be listening to what God is saying within us. This past week, here's my honesty. I was kind of going a different direction this week with this prayer, and I went to a prayer and fasting retreat this past weekend, and this guy shared some of the things I'm going to share, and it hit my heart so hard. And I'm like, our church needs to hear some of this. So some of this, I'm telling you, is me, and some of this is just something I've been challenged by. So is that okay? Is that okay with you? So one of the things he said was this. This is an illustration he used, and I thought this was really interesting. We can only hear at a certain decibel level. In our lives, I'm talking naturally, we can only hear at a certain decibel level. Most sound waves are like, we hear at a certain decibel level. Check this out. Humans can only hear with the range between 20 hertz and 20,000 hertz. That's where we hear. That's a natural hearing. For example, though, think about this. There is infrasonic sound, which is below 20 megahertz, which our natural ears can't hear. An example of this is an elephant uses infrasound to communicate with other herds up to 100 miles away. An elephant even the way the elephant can walk sends off a low signal that we can't hear, that other elephants can hear up to 100 miles away. Many natural phenomena like earthquakes and fire and volcanoes flood emit infrasounds. Even though humans cannot hear these sounds, check this out. This is crazy. We react to these sounds. For instance, these sounds produce sensations in our lives. These sounds, even though we don't hear them, we can feel them. This is why some people say they can feel an earthquake before it happens. They can feel within their bodies. This sensation of this feeling, even though it doesn't create sound for us to hear, it creates something which causes us fear, an awe, a wonder, an extreme emotional distress. Animals hear this, and that's why birds fly away when certain things are picked up. It's interesting because even scary houses, Halloween is coming, scary houses at amusement parks actually send off below 20 megahertz of sound to make it even more scary feeling in your body. Isn't that crazy? They said even they're trying to figure it out with your own when movies and make a low signal. But think about this. That's low signal. Then there's ultrasonic sound, which goes 20,000 and above. And here's how that works. It's also called ultrasonic, that boom. We can't really hear those waves. For example, sonar is used this way. It's like ultrasound for babies. When you check out a baby, it's also used this way. If you have a painful kidney stone, they fire ultrasound at a kidney stone and it explodes. This is what's used most of the time to break apart things in our bodies. That vibration is used. Strong ultrasound waves are sometimes used to destroy even cancer tumors within the bodies, and it's also used for brain conditions. Sound waves can heal. And sound waves, check this out, can bring down buildings. If you're listening to the news in the last few weeks, there's actually been people who have been in the military and political people who have said that once they get into a certain building, they've actually had headaches and they can't concentrate right, but they think there's actually new weapons out there that are mixing up people's waves in their heads that's causing headaches, you know what I'm saying? So it's like it's almost like a terrorist thing going on. Isn't this crazy? It's crazy to think about. There's a whole nother level here and down here. So my question is this. Can God speak to us in different frequencies? Have you ever thought about that? Maybe God is here and I'm trying to be up here. Or maybe I'm down here and God's trying to be here. Can God speak to us in different frequencies? We think God speaks through a megaphone. Here's what we want. We want God, when he speaks to us, to be like, Jarvis, come over here right now. But, I mean, we want this audible thing to come at us, and it's just not the way it usually works. And so we just got to listen carefully. So I'm going to read the scripture verse, 1 Kings 19, 1 through 3. I didn't put it up on a board because it's just a long verse, and I just want you guys to follow. It says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Judah, he left his servant there, and while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and he prayed that he must die. Think about this. I just want you to know, this is right after Mount Carmel, and he called down a fire, and God consumed, and he beat all these other, witches and everything else. He saw the presence of the Lord show up in mighty ways. And now, he's literally going and running away because Jezebel comes at him. He feels, like, threatened, so he goes to hide, and he's literally asking the Lord to take his life. And he says, if you want to look at something like almost depression, look at this, and this is how this is working. So this is that, and he says, take my life, I'm no better than the ancestors. And he lay down under a bush and fell asleep. At once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he lay down again. Can I just tell you this? How often do we just need some good sleep and some good food, right? The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, strengthened by the food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with sword. I am the only one left, and I'm the one running away. And now they are killing me too, the Lord said. Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about ready to pass you by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard this, he pulled the cloak over his face, went out, and stood at the mouth of the cave, and a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I'm just going to say this. Elijah just got done experiencing a physical miracle of the Lord. He flees to a cave, and then he says, God, where are you at? If you're anything like me, one day you may be thinking, God is awesome. This is great. This is amazing. God has been doing work in my life. You wake up the next morning tired and hungry, and you're like, where's God at today? Anybody else ever been there? And all of a sudden you're just going, am I crazy for being this way? Am I crazy for this? This is what Elijah's going through. But it says Elijah went to the mountain of God. Now, I want you to picture this. I'm going to come back to this, but I want you to picture this. If you know anything about history of the Old Testament, when he was referring to the mountain of God, he is actually referring the place he's at right now, the cave he's in, is the same mountain that Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments from the Lord. He's at the same mountain that he heard stories about. He's at the same mountain that all of a sudden that God spoke through a burning bush, that God came in, through fire, that all of a sudden there's lightning and thunder, and God speaking through all that to give him the Ten Commandments. Remember, people were looking up, and there's a storm up there because Moses was in the midst of the Lord's presence. This was the mountain of God. And so Elijah was hearing all these stories for all these years about the mountain of God. So here he is. He's waking up almost depressed. And all of a sudden he goes traveling. He goes, if I want to meet the Lord, I better go where the Lord has been. I'm going to go to the mountain of God. So he goes there with expectation, saying, hopefully God is here. And so he shows up. And what begins to happen is he shows up differently because he heard stories about the burning bush. He heard stories about the lightning and earthquake. He heard stories about the craziness of this mountain that shook the people to their brim. And he gets there, and all of a sudden he stands at the foot of the cave. The mountain's moving, wind's coming, and all of a sudden the big wind comes, and he's waiting, and nothing happens. God is not there. And all of a sudden he's waiting, and all of a sudden the lightning stuff, and all of a sudden he's waiting, nothing there. And all of a sudden he's like, his expectations are being destroyed. He's like, where's God at? This is what I heard happens all these years. And all of a sudden he just finally waits, shuts down, and all of a sudden God came in a gentle whisper. The word whisper in Hebrew actually means tiny, silent, or also still, small voice. It means a tiny voice. Some of you feel like God's silent to you today in your situation, but maybe it's just in a whisper. The dictionary actually defines whisper as this. This is amazing. To speak very softly using one's breath. You don't use your vocal cords. You just use your breath. That you whisper to someone. It's interesting because Psalms, my scripture says in Psalms 25, 24 says, the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes covenant with known to them. Amos 3, 7 says, for the Lord does nothing without revealing in secret to his servants and prophets. Psalm 25, 14 says, the secret of the Lord are those with fear him. It says that what is referring to is God confides with his people. Now, God's not coming to permission. It's pretty much saying that God has secrets, and he wants to whisper those to the people who are willing to listen. That when we listen to the Lord, he has something to say. So point number one is this. God's whispers are powerful. Genesis 2:7 says, when the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the man became a living being. Think about that. When God created man and woman, when God created man, he breathed life into him. He breathed. He just breathed and life came into him. God's breath builds and creates. You don't have to have a loud experience with the Lord to have an experience with the Lord. It could be a gentle whisper. Can I just tell you this? Most of the times in my life that God has changed my heart and grabbed my direction, it's not because there's some crazy audible voice. It's because I come down to an altar or I'm praying with the Lord and all of a sudden something convicts within my heart that I'm not be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. All of a sudden, I feel this presence, and I feel the same, like, we can't go this direction. There's this breath, and so God creates. Number two is this. We're going to go through these fast. Number two is, sometimes God whispers to get our attention. When someone whispers to you, you have to be close to hearing. You got to lean in. For instance, I've had surgeries. Most of you guys know I've had surgeries. I went to the doctor a few weeks ago. I thought I had to have another surgery. This ear has been bugging me, and some of you, can I just be honest? Here's my honesty. This ear, I had surgery in this ear, like was it, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, these ears, they had to do reconstructive surgery, and I haven't had an ear infection since my surgery, which is a miracle, because I've had so many ear infections, this is why I had to do surgery. And then about a month ago, my ear started draining, and it's not the normal drain, it's like blood. My ear's been draining blood out of my ear. And so some of you have probably ran into that. Isn't that fun? I know Shino gave me a hug and I put blood on his shirt. That was really soothing for him. So, right, Shino, that was pretty fun. And here's what's funny about it, though, is that I literally, as soon as it started draining, I did not know it was draining. I did not know. And so I'm like, I have no feeling in my ear. So I went to the doctor assuming that they're going to have to do surgery in my ear again. And I went to my amazing doctor, and he goes, I said, well, that's one of the worst ear infections I've ever seen. And I said, are you serious? I don't need surgery? He goes, no, you just have a massive ear infection that's bleeding out of your ear. So he put me on medication. But here's what's crazy. He's like, are you in a lot of pain? I said, I have no pain. I have a little bit of pain. He goes, well, that's good news and bad news. He says, good news, you just won't experience pain. The bad news is we probably killed all your nerves within your ear. So that just doesn't, you just don't know if you have ear infection until your ear starts bleeding out. I'm like, well, that's good to know, right? But the reason I say all this is because this ear is about 80% hearing, and this one is about 50% hearing. A lot of people, my wife always tries to pick up my pieces because people might say, hey, Jarvis, and I walk by, and I feel like I'm ignoring them. And honestly, my right ear, I don't hear very good out of. I'm not trying to ignore you, and maybe I am, I don't know, but I'm just kidding. But I'm not trying to ignore you, but I just can't hear. So one of the most annoying things in my life is when I sit, and if you have hearing issues, you probably can sense the irritation with this. When you sit next to somebody, and this is like when I'm driving, my wife is over here, and so she's talking to me. It's better now. When we have babies, but my wife would just get so annoyed because I can sleep. I can put my pillow right here and sleep on this side, and I don't hear anything. I'd sleep all through the night. But people sit next to me, and I can hear high noises in this ear. I can't hear low noises. So when someone leans into this ear and whispers to me, like during like something like this, I don't hear a word they're saying. I just go, yep. I don't even know what you're saying. Because I gotta lean in really close. Listen, to really hear if somebody's whispering, you gotta get close to that person. Whether you have good hearing or not, you gotta get close to the person that you want to hear. So many times I hear people say, well, I don't hear from the Lord. And I say, if you want to hear from the Lord, you got to get close to the Lord. It's interesting because you need to get close. You need to lean in a little bit. And I'll tell you a little bit more in a second. Number three is this. Few forms of communication are more personal than a whisper. Dude, you're not going to have just a stranger always whisper in your ear. Right? You're not going to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to go to Dar, we're not strangers, but I'm not going to go to Dar and whisper sweet things in his ear. Dar, you're a great friend. Let's go to a movie tomorrow night. It's weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's something personal about a whisper. There's just something that's different about a whisper. You got to lean in close. You got to smell what they smell. You got to get in close to it. Number four is this, God's whispers. I want you to catch this. God's whispers are heard with the heart. If you're searching for something audible to happen to you, I'm telling you, I have never heard it. Now, listen, when I say I haven't heard God's voice, I have never heard this amazing, crazy, like, knock on the door saying, God, you know, saying, this is God. Hey, Jarvis. I'm like, hey, God, how are you doing? Yeah. I don't hear this audible voice. But there is something that happens within my heart, my conscience, that I know it's the Lord pulling me in this way. Does that make any sense? And so people always ask me, well, can I just give you a fun example here? Somebody came up to me a few months ago and said, well, I was in a grocery store, and I kind of felt like God or somebody wanted me to go pray with this person and have conversations. I didn't do it. And I said, why? Well, I didn't know if it was me or if it was the Lord, or I just didn't know if I should go do it, so I didn't do it. I said, whoa, hold the horses. Can I just be the most practical? I'm just going to be practical for a second. Number one, it's not Satan. He's not going to go tell you to go pray with somebody. If it's something spiritual to step out in, to edify and to glorify and lift them up and do something like that, so then you all got to figure out, is this me or is this the Lord? And I'm telling you, listen, if you're following the Lord and you feel like inside of you, you should go pray with somebody, just go do it. If you think something positive about somebody, just say it. If you have a word of encouragement to somebody, do it. And if you say, I feel like God wants me to text this person, just do it. If you're praying and a verse comes in your head and a person's picture comes in your head, you would get that verse out, you text it to that person, you call that person and say, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I was just praying for you a second ago. This verse came in my head. I'm just going to, it might be right, it might be wrong. You know what I'm saying? But here it is. I want to have a people in church who would rather step out and try than hold it in. You guys hearing this? Because I feel like when God speaks, he speaks to our hearts. Just trust when God speaks to your heart. Number five, next one is this. This is a biggie. You will miss God's whisper if you're constantly surrounded by the noise. Actually, if we can get the worship team up here, that'd be great. We're going to wrap this puppy up in a nice little bow. Here's what I think. When was the last time, answer me this question, when was the last time you were silent? You know what I really think about? You cannot hear a whisper if there's too much noise. So here's my question. When was the last time you were silent? When was the last time you had no noise? And here's where my honesty is. Some of you are so afraid in your life to get to the point where you have no noise. Here's why you're afraid of it. If you think hard and wide about it, you're actually afraid to get in the Lord's presence and shut yourself down because you're literally nervous what the Lord is going to say to you. Because if you're like me, you're probably wondering, what is the Lord going to ask me to give up or surrender? What is the Lord going to really ask me to do? I had a friend who literally his fear was he was dating this girl in high college, and he wanted to go step into this new role, and he was so afraid to give it to the Lord because he goes, I feel like in my heart the Lord wants me to be a missionary and go serve. I don't feel like she's called to be there, so I don't want to surrender to the Lord because I feel like he's going to pull me out of this. And I'm like, are you kidding? So he didn't even want to go in a quiet place because he didn't want any new revelations that God has for him. Here's what I'm realizing as I get older. Some of the main reasons why people don't spend some quality time with the Lord, number one, they just don't know how to. Number two, they're just scared to. Some of you sit here and you're saying, I'm afraid to go to that next step. What if I really, truly surrender to the Lord? What if I know about him, but what if I really got to know him? What if I surrender my heart? What am I going to have to give up? What am I going to have to lay down? What am I going to have to get rid of? So here's my thing. Eliminate the noise. What's your noise? I can tell you right now, even though it may not make a lot of noise, your cell phone is a noise. And I'm not saying, like, you throw your cell phone away and put in a trash compactor and crush that thing. What I'm saying is this. Just do me a favor. This week, everybody with me, put your hand, write a hand up and say, I promise. There you go. That's all I need. I promise. So you guys are all on it. One half an hour this week. Half an hour. Half an hour. One half an hour. That's it. Half an hour. I'm not asking for half an hour every day. I'm not asking for half an hour, you know what I'm saying, four times a day. One half an hour this week. Some point this week. I don't even want you driving, because that's also noise. Because then you start getting mad at the drivers and start giving them the bird and all that kind of stuff. You know, I don't want you, you know, riding your bike. I don't want you doing any of that. I don't want you even around your kids. I don't want you any of that. I literally want you for one half an hour, leave your cell phone away. I want you to find either a closet, find something, get away from the computer, get away, put your journal even away. Put your Bible away for half an hour. Put everything away. And I would just want you to spend time with the Lord and say, God, help me to close down so you can open up in my heart. What do you want to speak to me? And even as I say this, some of you are like, oh, there's so much to do. That's a half an hour. And I'm telling you, yes, that's why you need to shut down for half an hour. Because your priorities become so much doing something. Here's where I'm going to close today. Honestly, Christianity, in a nutshell, is not about doing something. It's about being somebody. It's about becoming somebody. We don't need to do because Jesus already did. Now listen. Jesus already died on the cross. Jesus made a way when there is no way. Jesus made it so we don't have to go before a burning bush, or we don't have to go to the mountain of God like Elijah and say, I want to hear from the Lord. He says, you don't have to travel those roads anymore. He says, because of Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we no longer have to go to a burning bush, that we have that burning flame within inside of us. That it says, you don't have to just do something, you have to become something. And that becoming is a child of the Lord. That you got to surrender. Now listen, I agree we got to do stuff. Don't get me wrong, we got to do stuff. But don't let your doing get in the way of your becoming. First commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm telling you, it's hard to love your neighbor when you don't like yourself. And we begin to realize how much God loves you, because the more time you spend with him, here's what he whispers to you. I love you. Two Sundays ago, my before pre-service prayer, my son was just sitting over here. He always in pre-service prayer with us, and I said, sir, come here. You know how when your dad says, come here, there's something going on, right? And he kind of gave me that look like, okay, dad, here I come. You know what I'm saying? He probably has something for me to do. I knelt down, got to his level, and I put my arms around him and I said, buddy, I love you. I'm proud of you, and I love you. And you could just see the tension come off. He just gave me a hug and goes, I love you too, dad. And I'm telling you, when we get in the Lord's presence and those whispers begin to come, you say, God, I love you. And you start hearing in your heart, I love you too. We're going to make it. Dad knows the way home.